You know, you can't escape it. We got to talk about it. These are just unique times we're in, you know. It's there. Our minds are on the king today, but let's just be honest, right behind it is what's going on, okay? The news is all about the coronavirus. Every day, how far it's spreading, where it is today in our country. The closings, which at first seemed just really broad, you know, sports, big businesses. But then it's become much more personal. Schools closing, works closing. Even congregations today are deciding what is the best move. Maybe staying home and trying to prevent the disease from spreading. And you see it across the world. What it started east, everything that happened in China, in Korea, in Japan. And of course all the devastating news of Italy. These are unique times, brethren. At least in our generation, we've not seen something quite like this before. And so if you can place your finger on the pulse, not just of our country, if you can place your finger on the pulse of the world and feel what is in the hearts of most people, it is fear and it's panic. But you know, I thought about this. I thought about this on Friday. I thought, you know, if you just for a moment kind of step back and think back, God's people through generations and times before, maybe it wasn't this, okay? Maybe it wasn't the coronavirus, but God's people have been through some tough times before. Do you remember the first Sunday after 9/11 and how you felt? Do you remember Y2K? Can you imagine what it would have been like to assemble in World War II, realizing that the majority of your young men were overseas fighting in a major conflict? Or trying to assemble on the first day of the week in the 1930s in the Great Depression? Can you imagine trying to come together as a church, as God's people, a family of believers during the Civil War, when literally a nation is torn apart? Or before America began, being a Christian in Europe under all that heavy religious persecution, unsure of if you can meet. Or in the Middle Ages, the Black Plague. This isn't the only time sickness has hit God's people. Or as we try to do today, go back to the first century where it all began. And when your world power, your government, Rome, is using its strength and its influence to target and arrest and kill Christians. This may be unique to our times, but God's people having to serve and worship and pull together in times of trouble is not unique to us. So let me ask you, if Jesus were here today, that is, if Jesus were bodily here on stage today and we gave him the microphone, what do you think he would say? You know it. What is the most common thing he said throughout the Gospels? He had a lot of commands, but the one he said over and over again, fear not. Beloved, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That's what we need today. We need to hear him. Don't be afraid. Believe. That's where we're going to Habakkuk. I love the prophet Habakkuk. It's such a unique book out of all the minor prophets. Because this is not God telling the prophet, here's what you're going to go preach. This is a prophet speaking to God, confused with what's going on in the world around them. God's people had been very wicked, very evil. And the prophet opens this words with a lot of questions. Questions like, where are you, God? Why aren't you doing something about all that's going on? When are you going to get up and do something? When are you going to act? And when God tells Habakkuk, hey, here's what I'm planning, here's what I'm thinking, he says, well, you can't do that. You can't use the Babylonians, a more wicked nation, for your own holy purposes. The reason Habakkuk is so relevant to times like today and times of trouble is that the thinking of this prophet is so tempting when you're facing the storm. Because in his mind, his problems seem so great, but his God seems so small and so distant. And so God seeks to change his perspective through simple statements. Just look at 3 with me. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Habakkuk has all these questions for God. God says in chapter 1 and verse 5, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder. Because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. Look at chapter 2. Listen to what God says in verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Look at the end of chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Powerful statements. Do you hear, in essence, what God is saying to his prophet? Habakkuk, I've not left the throne. There's a lot going on, but even in the midst of the chaos, I'm still on the throne. I'm still in control. And Habakkuk, I don't owe you an answer. I don't owe you an answer as to what's going on. I don't have to explain what I'm doing, because even if I try to explain what's going on and why I'm doing what I'm doing, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't understand it. And so what you need most, Habakkuk, is not an explanation. It's not an answer. What you need most is a greater faith and a greater trust and the one who is in control. Do you not hear that message today? What we need most is not an answer. What we need most, it's not God providing his plan. We could not understand. What we need most is chapter 2 and verse 4. To deepen our faith and to strengthen our trust in the Lord. So what's amazing then is that by chapter 3, his tune changes. Because wouldn't yours have God said that to you? His tune changed from questions in fear to a song of faith. It's an amazing chapter. The first 5 verses, Habakkuk goes back, and in poetic language, he speaks about how God delivered his people through one of the darkest times in their past, through Egypt, through the Exodus, and how God delivered them with his mighty hand. You see in verse 3, the Holy One comes from Mount Paran. God comes from Timon. That's the Sinai region. God's people saw him as coming from Sinai to rescue and redeem his people from that incredible works. And then chapter 8 or verse 8 through 15, same kind of language. It's God saving his people, but God is pictured as this victorious warrior. And verse 8, it talks about riding on horses. And verse 9, you see the bow and arrow. Verse 11, it reads about the light of your arrows, the gleaming spear. I'm not really sure if Habakkuk had something specific in mind. Maybe Joshua and going through Canaan, or maybe the judges and God coming in time after time and rescuing his people from those armies. Or maybe during the kings when God would conquer all those enemies. I believe the reason he is not specific was on purpose. What he's saying is God saves his people. When things were incredibly impossible, facing odds they could never have won, God came in and he rescued and redeemed them. So here's the point. Here's the point he makes. God was with his people in difficult times. And God delivered his people in difficult times. And thus, my confidence in God will not be shaken by the troubles of today. Not when I remember who he is and what he has done. That's the point. If God saved his people in the Exodus, we think today is bad. Imagine being slaves in Egypt. If God rescued his people against incredible odds, facing mighty armies, I will not lose my confidence in God no matter what I face today when I remember who he is and what he has done. Now here's where I want to end. He ends this song on this incredible crescendo. So I want to give you 3 things. 3 things he says. 3 things, good brethren, my family here. I'm speaking to my family here today. I know we've got some visitors. I'm speaking to you too, but I want to just talk to family. That's what I saw this today. You can't ignore what's going on, so I want to talk to you like I'm talking to family. We got 3 things we need to be saying. We need to say what Habakkuk says by the end of his song. Here it is. Here's number 1. I will wait. Look at verse 16. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. It's humbling words. He's saying, I know God has a plan now. I recognize what it is, and I'm going to wait for the enemy to come and to punish God's people. It's amazing, though. The book of Habakkuk opens with Habakkuk questioning God's timing. He's not doing it now. He's not saying how long. No, he's saying, God, I recognize you're on the throne, and I know you have a plan, and I know you're in charge. And even though things are not what they ought to be today, because you are king, because you are good, because your way is always right, I will wait. Wait on the Lord. Isn't that an amazing phrase? You know, you think of like Isaiah 40. when it talks about the strength found in waiting for the Lord. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The strength found in those who place their faith, who place their trust in the Lord. Or maybe Psalm 27 verse 14. We have a song right out of these words. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That phrase, wait for the Lord, it calls us to a patient stilling of the heart. Okay? Rather than allowing the storms of today to cause me to rush to conclusions in my mind, where's God? Why is he letting it get as bad as it is? Why isn't he answering this? Why isn't he hearing my prayer? Wait for the Lord. It's a call for patience. It's a call for a greater confidence, realizing God will speak and God will act and God will accomplish his plan in his time. I've not been to New York, but at Fifth Avenue in New York, as I've Googled and I've made sure this is correct, because sometimes these preacher stories are stretched. If you've been there, you can tell me. Fifth Avenue in New York, on one side of Fifth Avenue in the courtyard of this major complex, there is a statue of Atlas, holding the world, the mighty Atlas. It's a huge statue, if you've seen it. And so this huge metal statue pictures this muscly Atlas holding the world. But the thing is, he's barely able to stand, crippled under the weight of the world. It's about how it looks. More muscles, but about how it looks. Here's the thing. Right across the street, Fifth Avenue, in the courtyard of a little church, it's a statue of the boy Jesus holding the world in his hand. Which side of the street do you live? When I try and get all the answers for all the problems of today on my own, when I try and solve all the fears and the anxious thoughts weighing on my heart on my own, you can try it. Oh, you can. You can try and find every answer to every problem. But I guarantee you're going to crumble under the weight of a burden you were not meant to bear. There's a reason Paul says, or Peter says, that if you're anxious, if there's something bothering you, he doesn't say, just figure it out. Solve it on your own. Cast it. Cast it from you. Cast it to the Lord. Why? We'll go back in our context. How was Israel able to escape Egypt? Because they were so strong. How was God's people able to defeat their enemies in Canaan and the period of the judges and the kings? Because they were so strong. No! The whole point is God delivered them. God gave them strength. And so rather than trying to find everything on our own, the psalmist says, let your refuge be not in your intellect, not in your know-how, not in your strength. No, my refuge and my strength comes in the Lord, who is that help in the times of trouble. And so if there's something we need to be saying, it's this, calm down. Calm that anxious spirit. Today may not be what I want it to be, but I will wait. I will wait on the Lord. He will answer. He will accomplish his plan. I'm not going to solve all my problems on my own. I'm going to learn to wait and to trust, expecting his will to be done. Here's number two. I will rejoice. 17 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the field produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I love what he's saying. Rather than waiting for the storm to pass, I'm going to praise God right in the midst of it, in the midst of all this hardship. You know what we say? When things happen that we really like, we say, praise God. Right? Someone gets a job, we say, praise God. Someone gets an answered prayer. Hallelujah. Baby is born. God is good. And we say that, don't we? Oftentimes when something good happens, we get an answered prayer, we say, God is good. And what does someone, you know, they're always right here on the right. You know what they say? All the time. We say that, don't we? God is good all the time. Here's the thing. When storms come, we don't hear that, do we? When coronavirus hits, don't see a lot of God is good on Facebook, do we? We see, where is God? What is God doing? God help us. God heal us. God bless us. And all those are right. And all those are true. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, one of the signs of a deep, maturing faith, a deep, maturing devotion to God, is when my songs of praise to the Lord do not come out of what I have or where I am. They simply come because of who He is. There's a song that came out when I was in college. I love the words. I will praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands. No matter who you are, or because of who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear that falls, you hold in your hand. Though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. That's the sign of maturity. Did you see that here? Though no food in my pantries, though no olives on the vines, no fruit on the vines, though the cattle not be in the stalls, in times of plenty or in times of complete absence. Isn't that kind of what Paul's saying here? Can you put it in here with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Put it in here with me for a minute. Rejoice in the Lord when you are wealthy and you have a job. But when I have no money and I am broke and I have no jobs and I have bills, praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord when you have health in your bodies and you are strong and vibrant. But when I am sick and I am diseased, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, and I have abundance and blessings and things are going so well for me. Or I walk down that valley I never thought I would go. And maybe I've lost a loved one so close and near and dear to me. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Here's the point. Good brethren, don't let the storms of life steal your song of praise to the Lord. Don't let this season of life steal your song of praise to God, because God is still good. Disease or no disease, God is still good. Disease or no disease, God is on the throne. Disease or no disease, He reigns in His holy temple, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in Him. Here's number three. I will rise. The Lord is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk on high places. Hinds' feet, deer's feet. This idea of lightness. You're rising higher than you've ever risen before. You have strength that you never knew you had before. It could be that what we're facing in our eyes may seem like that which would defeat us and cripple us entirely. It may seem like a source of great discouragement to our faith. But from God's perspective, the path we're facing right now and the storm we're in right now, from His view, may be a path to a higher ground, to a stronger faith, to a deeper trust than we ever had before. Here's the point you need to listen to me. We will be tested in this season, period. It happens. This is that time. We've not been here before, brethren. We've not lived like something like this before. You will be put to the test. Your faith will be put to the test. And you have to decide here and now, I will not let this cripple my faith. I will not let this time, however long it lasts, destroy my trust in God. And whatever happens through this, whatever the outcome may be, I will not walk away from God at the end of the storm. No, from verse 19. I'll come out of this. I'll come out of this season, I will come out of this storm, I'll come out of this time stronger, more devoted. I'll be walking higher than I ever have before. Not because I'm so great. Look again, we talked about I will wait. Verse 16, it's implied, I will wait on the Lord. Verse 18, the praise we have, rejoicing, I am rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 19, the reason we make it out stronger than before, the Lord God is my strength. Because the Lord leads us through the wilderness. Because the Lord stays by our side in the dark valleys. The reason we are able to come out of this stronger, brethren, is because because we've never left his side. But let me ask you. Let's just say worst case scenario. Play it through. Best thing you can do, play it through in your mind. The plane crashes. The boat sinks. Or for us today, widespread across our country, and all of us die. Is that the worst? Because there is something we have in the hands of God no sickness can touch. No disease can corrupt. Brethren, the victory we have in Christ Jesus, not even death can take it from us. Do you understand that? And so when we say it, we don't mean it by any cliche. God is in control. We say this phrase, he holds the worlds in his hands. I love that language. All through the Psalms, we see this idea. In God's hands are the depths of the earth. Or in God's hands are the kings of the world. God moves the kings like he moves waters. Our time, the time that we are given, found in the hand of God, or like how Job said it, your very existence is held in his hands. So think of this. God's hands, what all these are saying is, God's hands hold the world. Everything that is and exists rests in his hands. So when he says in Isaiah 41 and verse 3, listen, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Can you think of that? The hand that holds the world reaches out to hold mine and says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Fear not. In dangers and in trouble, in widespread illness and sickness, even there, I'm with you. The question is, am I with him? As the psalmist would say, into your hand, I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Into your hand, dear Lord, I place my life into your hands. Good brethren, the answer in times like this, in times of chaos, when things come unraveled, is to place your life in the hands of God. The real question is not how strong is this virus and will it claim my life? The question we leave from this morning is how great is our God and have I placed my life in his hands? That's the real question. That's the question. If my life is in his hands, I have in God something death cannot touch. Cannot touch it. I don't have to be afraid of getting sick. I don't have to be afraid of dying. Because in Jesus, nothing that exists or will exist can ever steal from his grasp. And so I will wait, and I'll wait on God, whatever it means in this season of our life. And I will praise him. The people in my life, the friends on my social media network, will hear from this man, from this woman, praise the Lord. Yep, praise them in the storm. Yes, I'm praising them though times are rough. Yes, I'm rejoicing even though times are hard. Because I know why. He's still good and he's still king. And one day he's coming again. And through this, however long it lasts, however trying it is, I'm committing right now, right here this Sunday morning. Will you do it with me? I'm going to grow in this season. I'm going to grow. I'm not going to let this stunt my faith. I'm not going to let this cripple my trust. I'm going to grow. I'm going to let this season test me and try me, but I'm going to come out trusting in God deeper and stronger than I ever have before because God's holding my hand. And hand in God, we can face this together. Amen. I love you, family. And we can do this. With God on our side, we can face this together. If you're not hands in hands with God, you need to change that today. If you've not given your life to God, place your life in his hands, you need to change that today. And so if you're here this morning, maybe you're not walking with your king. If you're here this morning and you need some help, some prayers, even on a morning like this, let us help you. Let's pray for you. Let's talk with you. If you've come here this morning and you need some help in your walk with God, right here is where you need to be. Just come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.